From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And we'd like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other soft information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequencies shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Maudy Ayunda, as spokesperson of G20 presidency of Indonesia, uses social media to communicate G20 activities. Minister Hartarto presses for carbon emissions reduction efforts. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news. After being introduced to the public at the end of March as government spokesperson of the G20 presidency of Indonesia, Maudy Ayunda in Jakarta on Thursday held a press briefing regarding the communication strategy to be implemented. She said there are a number of socialization formats that has been discussed and the plan will be carried out while serving as a spokesperson. She will use social media platform considering that millennials and Generation Z use the platforms a lot in their daily activities.
Tapi di luar itu, karena memang salah satu objektifnya adalah agar saya bisa menyampaikan.
But beyond that, because of the objectives is that I can convey the content in a way that is easier to digest. We will also continue to use social media platforms, and my platform is to keep meeting millennials and Gen Z friends in areas where they usually spend their times, namely social media. Meanwhile, spokesperson of the Ministry of Communication and Informatics, Dedi Permadi, said that as government spokesperson of G20 presidency of Indonesia, Maudy Ayunda has two main tasks, conveying information related to the agendas of the activities of G20 presidency of Indonesia and the substance of each agenda carried out.
Yang pertama adalah menyampaikan informasi terkait pelaksanaan kegiatan.
The first is conveying information related to the implementation of the summit activities, which will be held in November, and it will be attended by leaders of the G20 members or head of states. Then, there are events or agendas at the working group and engagement group levels. The second task is to deliver formal meetings throughout 2022 to the wider community. According to Dedi Permadi, Maudy Ayunda is a figure who is close to the millennial generation and Generation Z. Apart from being an artist and singer, she also has excellent academic achievements, which have become strong assets for her to be able to convey the message of the G20 presidency of Indonesia. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, Erlangga Hartarto, on Thursday, called for efforts to cut carbon emissions to help fulfill Indonesia's commitment to the transition to renewable energy. The Indonesian government is aiming to ensure the proportions of renewable energy in the total energy sources to reach 23% by 2025. The Presidential Staff Office, KSP, appealed to the community to remain alert to COVID-19 symptoms and comply with the vaccination requirement while traveling for the 2022 Idul Fitri homecoming exodus. The appeal was made by the main experts of the KSP, Abraham Wirotomo, in a press release on Friday, following the government's decision to ease restrictions on people's mobility during Idul Fitri exodus. The decision was taken by considering several indicators in the control of the COVID-19 pandemic that showed the pandemic situation in Indonesia had been brought under greater control and the number of cases was declining. Let's move on to the international news. The IMF announced on Thursday a conditional agreement to provide aid for Lebanon worth $3 billion to help it emerge from a severe economic crisis following months of negotiations. The country has been battered by triple-digit inflation, soaring poverty rates, and the collapse of its currency since the 2020 debt default. Officials in Beirut applauded the announcement as it will open the door to additional financial support from foreign donors. Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and Yemen on Thursday announced a return of their ambassadors to Lebanon in a sign of improving ties that hit rock bottom last year when the kingdom and other Gulf states withdrew their envoys. The Saudi Foreign Ministry said its ambassador returned in response to calls by moderate Lebanese political forces and after remarks by Prime Minister Najib Mikati regarding ending all political, military, and security activities that affect Saudi Arabia and other Gulf states. Canada on Thursday unveiled $6.4 billion Canadian dollars in additional military spending over 5 years in its new budget, in response to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, but missed the NATO spending target of 2% of GDP. According to NATO, Canada is currently spending 1.36% of GDP on the military, down slightly from just a few years ago. To meet the NATO target, Ottawa would have to set aside significantly more for defense, at least 0.5% of GDP, according to expert and Parliament's independent fiscal watchdog. Australia is expected to trigger national elections in the coming days, with Prime Minister Scott Morrison seeking to clear thorny political issues as his 3 years term nears its end. Morrison told radio stations 3AW on Friday, saying an election was due to in the middle of May. Morrison added the election would be fought on his government's economic track record and national security and cast Labour as an unknown. Listener, now let's move on to commentary on Macron's diplomacy attracts public sympathy.
Macron's diplomacy attracts public sympathy. The first round of the 2022 French presidential election will take place on Sunday, April the 10th. Incumbent Emmanuel Macron faces challenges from his rivals, including far-right candidates Marine Le Pen and Eric Zemmour, as well as conservative candidate Valérie Pécresse. Incumbent Emmanuel Macron and his challenger Marine Le Pen are believed to be the front-runners and could potentially face off in the second round, which will be held on April the 24th. Recent polls show Emmanuel Macron still has the most support from French no voters. A survey from Harris Interactive, as quoted from Metcom.id on April the 5th, shows Macron is ahead, although only by 3 points from Le Pen, which is 51.5% compared to 48.5%. Macron's way in dealing with the Russo-Ukrainian conflict or war seems to attract the French public, so that support for Macron is still ahead of the election. Macron's diplomatic steps in finding a solution to the Russo-Ukrainian conflict or war are indeed interesting to note. Like last February, when the Russia-Ukraine conflict started to escalate. At that time, Macron chose to meet Putin for dialogue to prevent war. Meanwhile, the leaders of the United States and other Western countries issued various statements condemning and threatening Putin. In the Russo-Ukrainian war, French President Emmanuel Macron has consistently prioritized dialogue in finding a solution to the conflict. Macron's move was criticized by Polish Prime Minister Mateusz Morawiecki. He called Putin a totalitarian leader, and negotiating with Putin was tantamount to negotiating with Hitler or Stalin. French President Emmanuel Macron on Wednesday, April the 6th, vehemently rejected criticism from Polish Prime Minister Mateusz Morawiecki for opening dialogue with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Speaking to French TV at the F1, Macron said he was determined to continue and on behalf of France talk to the Russian president, and this is to avoid war and build a new architecture of peace in Europe. Macron's bold attitude not only attracted the sympathy of the French public, but also the world community. It is hoped that Macron's diplomatic steps are not only for the sake of the election, rather it is a policy that is consistent and continuously carried out to find solution to conflicts or wars between countries, especially Russia and Ukraine. That was commentary over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
That was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Begin today in history on April 8, 1938, when Kofi Annan was born in Kumasi. Kofi Atta Annan was a Ghana diplomat and former 7th UN Secretary General in January 1997 until December 2006. He joined the UN in 1962 and worked under the Geneva chapter of WHO. He then held some positions at the UN headquarters, including the Deputy Secretary General for Peacekeeping in March 1992 until December 1996. Kofi Annan was elected as UN Secretary General on December 13, 1996 by the Security Council and inaugurated by the General Assembly. He became the first Secretary General chosen from among UN staff. Kofi Annan was chosen for the second period in 2001. With the UN, Annan received the 2001 Nobel Peace Prize. On August 18, 2018, Kofi Annan passed away. Moving on to April 8, 2020, Indonesian singer Glenn Fredly passed away. Glenn Fredly Deviano Latui Hamalo was born on September 30, 1975. He was well known as a songwriter, producer, and an actor. In 1998, Glenn Fredly began his solo career and launched an album entitled Glenn. Besides being popular in Indonesia, Glenn Fredly was also popular in Malaysia and Singapore. In 2000, he received an award in Malaysia for the Best Indonesian Album and in Singapore for the Best Song of People's Choice. Glenn was also known for his criticism against issues in Indonesia. Glenn Fredly, on April 8, 2020, passed away because of meningitis. We Orient today in history on April 8, 2005, when Pope John Paul II was buried. With the ringing of a bell at St. Peter's Basilica on 10 a.m. Vatican time, April 8, 2005, the funeral of Pope John Paul II began. The Mass was led by Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger from Germany. Some state leaders came, such as the U.S. President George W. Bush, Australian Prime Minister Tony Blair, Egyptian Prime Minister Hosni Mubarak, Iranian President Ali Khatami, some leaders in Palestine and other countries. The flock was dominated by 1 million Polish Catholics who demanded the remains of Pope John Paul II to be brought to his country of origin. Pope John Paul II passed away at the age of 84 on April 2, 2005.
Jiwa, namamu terukir dalam pusara di setiap langkah. Ku selalu berdoa semoga kita bersama. Duhai engkau tambatan hatiku, labuhkanlah cintamu di hidupku. Ku ingin kau tahu betapa merindu hiduplah engkau denganku. Dengarkanlah di sepanjang malam aku berdoa, bersujud dan lalu aku meminta semoga kita bersama. Hatiku, labuhkanlah cintamu di hidupku. Ku ingin kau tahu betapa merindu hiduplah engkau denganku. Dengarkanlah di sepanjang malam aku berdoa, bersujud dan lalu aku meminta semoga kita
Well, for listener, you've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Sharia insurance is an important part in the Sharia financial industry development. Its presence is expected to support a sustainable national development. That was stated by Vice President Maruf Amin in his remark during the launching of Sharia insurance through a video conference in Jakarta on Tuesday, escorted by Antara. Vice President Maruf Amin said, "The presence of Sharia insurance is expected to also realize poverty eradication and to contribute to recovery acceleration during disasters in Indonesia." Besides, he also said that the Sharia insurance is needed by not only the people but also financial institutions such as Sharia banks. With the risk-sharing concept, Sharia insurance is a risk-control alternative needed by business people. However, according to the Vice President, the Sharia insurance's important role is yet to be reflected from a balanced Sharia's insurance development. The Sharia insurance market is relatively low. Based on the Financial Service Authority OJK, the Sharia insurance market was 5.3% in 2021. However, the Sharia insurance industry growth had been ongoing for three decades since the first Sharia insurance was founded in Indonesia in 1994. Therefore, according to Vice President Maruf Amin, the market opportunity for Sharia insurance is still very open. Vice President Maruf Amin further affirmed that Sharia principle as the foundation of the Sharia financial system become an inseparable strength and also determine the Sharia finance feasibility and resilience until now. He also said Indonesia must carefully see the future challenges. According to him, good performance of Sharia finance companies must be maintained along with increasing people's participation.
Dalam hati cinta yang tulus. Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
Rang zhen que pei tai kou zhao, yi fang chi xin xing guang zhuang bing du fei yan de chuan bo. Wo de kou zhao bao hu ni, yi de kou zhao bao hu wo.
Evite la difusión del coronavirus, cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overbrenging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, then we would like to present next segment Indonesia Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Leader, here is Indonesian Wonder. The title of Indonesian Wonder for today's edition is Ramli Mustafa Mosque. Listener, as a place of worship for Muslims, Ramli Mustafa Mosque is also used as a place for religious tourism. Some mosques in Jakarta have historical values and unique building designs that make Muslims interested in visiting the mosque. The Ramli Mustafa Mosque is one of them. From the front side, this mosque is very similar to a famous building in India, namely Taj Mahal. Even the Ramli Mustafa Mosque was intentionally built in a style similar to Taj Mahal. Haji Ramli Rasidin is the founder of the mosque, who has been a convert to Islam. He was inspired by the Taj Mahal because he wants the mosque to be a symbol of Muslims' love for Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, religion, and family. The location is located on Jalan Danau Sunter Raya, Sunter Agung, North Jakarta. Listener, the name of Ramli Mustafa is taken from the abbreviation of the owner's name, namely Ramli. His wife Lee and their children, namely Muhammad, Sofian, and Fabian. This mosque was inaugurated in 2016. If you visit the mosque, the palm of the mosque can be seen from the outside. The building is wide and tall. Then, at the top under the dome, there is a golden inscription in two languages. The first is in Chinese language, and below it, in Indonesian language, written the Ramli Mustafa Mosque. Interestingly, when you enter the mosque area, you will be greeted with calligraphic writings on Al-Qari'ah verses on the front walls. Right on the wall near the entrance gate, There is an inscription of the letter Al-Qari'ah while on the wall of the stairs heading for the main door of the mosque. There is an Al-Fatiha verse inscription. The calligraphy is also equipped with Indonesian and Chinese translations. The writing of the holy verses of the Quran in three different languages have become a symbol of tolerance from the Ramli Musofa Mosque. Moreover, it is hoped that with the Indonesian and Chinese translation, people who visit the mosque can understand more about Islamic teachings. Listener, besides when you go upstairs, there is a traditional drum, namely beduk, on the right side of the courtyard of the mosque. The high pillars inside the mosque and glass with calligraphy accents on the dome also give the beauty and luxury of the Ramli Musofa Mosque. The mosque is also equipped with friendly disability facilities, such as toilets for people with disabilities, ablution places equipped with seats and lifts. Currently, this mosque has been used for the five daily prayers, Taraweeh and Friday prayers. Well, listener, that's Indonesian Wonder read by Ahmad Faisal.
Cintaimu tanpa syarat, aku rela menunggu sangat lama. Katamu suatu saat aku pasti jadi cintamu, satu cintamu. Aku ingin kau mengerti di jiwaku hanya kamu. Namun bila kau tak bisa menerima aku, lebih baik ku hidup tanpa cinta. Haruskah ku bersabar tanpa batas? Aku masih ingat semua janjimu. Namun setelah kau mengenal dia, kau berubah, kau tak sama. Aku ingin kau mengerti di jiwa.
You've just listened to the third pop song, and for next segment, we'll present to you Miss Eleni. So stay tuned for a listener on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Some 27 artists from some countries showcase their artworks in Resurrections exhibition held at Art Exchange Gallery in Sanur, Bali from April 4th until May 3rd. Art Exchange Gallery founder Benny Untoro said that the exhibition displayed statues, installations and paintings. The paintings include the abstracts, realist, surreal and hyper-realistic ones. Resurrection was chosen as the theme because the fine arts recently have been killed by consumerism. Fine arts is not appreciated anymore, so that artists produce art massively and only for money. This took away the quality or soul of an artwork. The team and exhibitions are expected to be a moment to restore the artwork market. This exhibition was curated by Arif Bagus Prasetyo. The artists involved in the event are Ana, Andi Prayitno, Ang Cece, Anis Kurniasu, Antu Budiono, Ben Wong, Budiasi, and many more.
Kusinggahi banyak cinta, namun tak pernah aku temui cinta sekuat aku menginginkan dia. Hal hebat ku rasakan kini, dicintai seseorang yang ku pun mencintai, itu sempurna. Takkan siakan dia, belum tentu ada yang seperti dia. Satu dunia tahu
siakan dia.
ada yang seperti dia. Satu dunia tahu aku bahagia. Banyak pasang mata saksi.
Berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyō shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Waqaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmi.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forcom, the getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listeners, in today's music corner, I'm going to present a regional song from Yogyakarta entitled Caping Gunung, to be sung by Niken Salindri. The song, which was composed by Gesang, tells the story of a father who misses his child. Maybe his son is struggling but hasn't come home yet. In addition, the song also tells about a father's love for his child, even though he has not met his son. The father is grateful because the mountain village where he lives becomes crowded so that memories will not be lost when it is difficult. Here is the regional song from Yogyakarta entitled Caping Gunung, sung by Niken Salindri.
Thank you.
terlalu indah dilupakan, terlalu sedih dikenangkan. Setelah aku jauh berjalan, engkau ku tinggalkan. Betapa hatiku bersedih mengenang kasih dan sayangmu. Setulus pesanmu kepadaku, engkau kan menunggu. Andaikan kau datang kembali, jawaban apa yang kan ku beri? Adakah cara yang kau temui untuk kita kembali lagi? Betapa hatiku bersedih mengenang kasih dan sayangmu.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention, and after this English language program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia. Or our Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address VOI@vianews.id.